Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by myself, Kyle Sconewell, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earl. I just concluded what I'm pretty sure is my least favorite sports year of my life. It has been so brutal for me to be a sports fan. Two things. One, I've never seen a championship of a team that I cheer for. So, like, I'm as in as you can be. I watch every game, and I've never seen it. And so just one time before I die, I'd like to see it. If you go back to last October, so not like 3 months ago, but 15 months ago or whatever, if you go back to that, Kirk was having the season of his life. The Vikings were rolling. He gets injured. That starts a wave of depression about what's he going to do and football and all that. But we go into 2024 and the Mariners, for example, had had high projections. Like, they made the playoffs the year prior, felt like the pitching staff was coming along. They missed the playoffs. So again, expectations set here, total disappointment down here. The Predators won 100 points last year, made the playoffs, and then in the offseason added three of the top five free agents. So I have never been more excited for a hockey season than this year, and they are literally in second to last place right now. It's unexplainable how bad they've been for how good they should be. So again, the expectation's so high. And then Kirk signs with Atlanta. I'm super excited about what they could do. I literally declared last year the year of Kyle as a sports fan. He ends up getting benched. It's an awful situation, and it's made me so frustrated with the football season. And then there's all these little things too. Like, if nothing else, I'm like, let's get the Lions. Let's have the Lions win their first Super Bowl. I'm from Michigan. That would be so cool. They get eliminated in the second round of the playoffs last night. And that just kind of put a stamp on, like, I hate sports. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't have nice things. We just can't. I've been venting about it in our Discord. I don't know, man.
I think, what is it they say, that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. So I think if that applies to hate as well, then I think I'm at the opposite. But I care about sport. Here's the funny thing. I care about sports primarily because of how, like, developments within the sports world impact the people in my life that care about sports.
Like me.
So like you, like my dad is, you know, it's like if the Saints have a really bad game, it really impacts his mental health.
That's me.
And then being in Austin, which is just the entire city is structured around University of Texas. So it's kind of like, if we win, then I know that the beginning of the following week is going to be a much better vibe. And if not, then it's like all these people that I know have often spent way too much money to travel to away games. And then it's like, if you lose, they're coming back just not stoked.
That's me.
And so I've learned, like, that's why I care about sports. But
there's this incredible meme online of this guy who's hiking. He's got a backpack on and a hiking stick, and it's all sunny, and he's in this beautiful location, and it says, "Get a load of this loser who doesn't care about sports and is happy all the time." What an idiot. And that's you. That's you.
Yeah. No, that's me.
On the total end of the other end of the spectrum, I talked about how I had some friends over last Friday night to watch the Silo season 2 finale, talk about it a little bit, get some snacks, and then turn on the Severance season 2 premiere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What a fun night of television. It actually spurred on so many thoughts that matter to this podcast. Like, first of all, I was so excited about the night that I posted about it on social media. Like, thank you, Apple, for just an incredible night. And it just got me thinking about, man, I love it. I love doing that stuff. And when's the last time I really did that? When's the last time I had a show that multiple friends were tracking with so much so that I could invite them over because they knew it was like a moment? And I just miss nights like that. So I hope to do it more. I actually texted those same people. I think they're probably all going to be watching Daredevil. So maybe we'll do it on March 4.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that got me thinking too, like, when was the last time the MCU did that for me? I don't think I ever had a time where I invited friends over for it, for television. Definitely movies, well, you know, and, like Ragnarok with my wife, yeah, like Civil War with some friends, etc. But probably WandaVision was the last time that I remember being like so glued that I had to see what was going to happen. I just love that genre. It was such a fun night of television, and I want more of it in my life.
Yeah. No, I think that one, I did have people in town to like friends visiting whenever WandaVision premiered, and like they didn't come for that, but I remember once we realized that was going to line up, it was like, yeah, we're all going to sit down and watch WandaVision. And it wasn't even like me twisting their arm. Like, it was like a group of people that were all similarly stoked because we had had, you know, the year without any Marvel or really much new content at all that wasn't like Tiger King. So I think it was like, that was fun. And yeah, I feel like Daredevil could be that. I mean, it's going to be different in that it's not like, it's not, I get the sense that Silo, which I've not seen, has certain things in common with Severance, and that it's kind of like,
they're very similar.
It seems like there's a what's going on element to it.
Mm-hmm. Which, and Daredevil, I'm not sure
that will happen in Daredevil.
Yeah, good point.
But, you know, it's like the Penguin didn't have that, and I think kind of became appointment viewing as well. And so I think that it doesn't. I'm getting really excited about that as we get closer, especially because, yeah, I'm saying that this is the first time we have recorded since that trailer dropped.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's just the what's going on kind of television that I invite friends over for. Like, I rarely invite someone over for just a show that's amazing but doesn't have that going on. I'm just trying to think, like, it's just, that's the genre I like. But yes, we have not talked since that trailer, which I thought was spectacular. I texted you my wife's reaction, which is, there might be a few too many broken bones for me to be watching this show.
Yeah, I'm so excited about everything that I keep hearing about that show, and the trailer basically only reinforced all of that stuff. I'm really excited on some of the comics front, and if people want more info on that, we actually put out a little post on like five comics that you can read before Daredevil Born Again. And the fun thing about Daredevil comics over other properties or characters or franchises or however you want to think about it, there are, I remember when we first started doing recommended reading back in season one, every now and then, well, actually fairly often, you run into this issue where there just isn't really there aren't enough great comics for characters that are great in the MCU or films that are great in the MCU. So it's kind of this hard, like, yeah, I can point you in this direction. You're not necessarily going to love it just because it's the same character. Like, they're great comics, but there's not always a one for one. And the nice thing about Daredevil is there's so many great Daredevil comics, and I feel like the show is set to pull from those. So I'm really excited to take people through those and to kind of see those show up in the show. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to, before we dive into what we're actually talking about today, it sounds like you liked the Severance premiere. You and I haven't talked about it yet. I was out of town this weekend, so I didn't get to watch it until last night, and Candace held off on watching until I got back. And we both were very, very happy with the first episode. I thought it was incredible.
I mean, I think at this point, there aren't too many shows like it. That's all I'm gonna say. It's got to be one of the best shows. Like, I am not nervous at all if it's not going to be incredible. Like, there's no question in my mind that every episode's going to keep me.
Right,
dude. Adam Scott saying, with the red ball, given the context of everything we know, him saying, "I made four friends today," and then the little kid saying, "We are, just to clarify, we are not friends. I am your boss." And then he just stares at it. Like, they let the camera go for like 7 seconds. And you're thinking as the audience member, like, is he going to snap? Is he going to say, like, cause he knows more now, all this stuff. And he just goes, three friends. And then passes the ball. dude, the video of Kier, I mean, that video of a recap, like, from season one was, I mean, literally unbelievable. I was laughing so hard. Just the weirdest possible
thing. Macro data uprising.
And Milchek is so good because
he
plays it so straight. Like, they just play that video. And then he's like, I hope you understand the way Lumen feels about you guys. It's like, wait, what? That was the video tribute? It's so weird. So, yeah.
I'm excited for us to get back on and do an update after our season one talk, because I like the way it ended. I've got a lot of questions and theories and thoughts, and this is not the place for them. But
and it's Keanu Reeves to go through. Was the voice, by the way, of the building. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's Reeves. Incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
That's incredible.
Okay. Something else that's incredible, we're going to be announcing the winners of the Friendly Award. So for those of you who don't know, we every year take a look back at the MCU that was in the prior year. Robbie and I put together maybe 18, 19 to 25 different awards that we can give out to people who feel like deserve it from the previous year in the MCU. And we call those the Friendlies with two E's, Stan Lee, shout out. And we nominated those categories last week. And then all of the people who follow, subscribe to this podcast on Friends From Work Plus are our Academy. They vote. And so these results that we're going to announce today are from them. One of the fun things we like to do, which I need to apologize about this, is our super friends. So the biggest supporters we have, those people will hop on here and read some of the winners and announce some of the winners, which is really fun. And I have three or four of those today, but I would normally have more if I could find a way to, because the problem is I wait so last minute till everyone gets their vote in. And then I like emergency text them and go, we need your video like tomorrow morning. And it's like Sunday night. So I feel bad that it kind of rushes some people, including Laura, who's trying to get a video to me. I'm not sure if I'm going to have it by the time I'm doing this, but anyways, that's a fun thing. And then the last thing, Robbie, is I, this weekend, built a page on our website called the Hall of Fame for Friendly Awards, which is actually really cool. So this is a suggestion from one of our listeners, Jalen. If you want to go see past winners now, you can go find that page on our website and click on the past winners. And I think that'll only get cooler as I can keep updating it every year. It's already kind of fun for me to look back and be like, oh, Elizabeth Olsen won twice already, for acting.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. It's kind of fun.
That is cool.
So without further ado, you got to just love this production value. I'm going to try to bring it back while doing this live. Welcome back to the 2025 Friendly Awards, looking at the 2024 MCU. Here we go. We just sit here.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, it's good to be back. Okay, I believe our first category is best addition to the MCU, if I remember right, right?
Yeah. So I guess the way that we'll do this is read through the nominees again.
Just quickly. Yeah, we'll keep the pace going. Yeah.
So our nominees here were Henry Black Crow Lopez, Deadpool, Wolverine, Wiccan, and Rio/Death. And the winner by a fairly slim margin was Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I like I like Wolverine beating out Deadpool there. Just the kind of old school X-Men fan in me is happy.
Did you vote this year? Yes or no?
You know, I didn't this year, in part because I was kind of watching the things, like the answers come in before I had voted. And then I kind of felt like it was like I had missed the moment, like my objectivity was compromised. And it's kind of fun to kind of to go through these and see in the moment how it hits me and how I would have voted. And I do think that that would have been my vote here, just because I really, it would have been close between Wolverine and Deadpool, not just because of how fun the movie was, but because Deadpool within the MCU, there was a lot of kind of, it's fun to see him talk about Thor and Captain America and talk to Happy. But I just think that like, there's something about having Hugh Jackman in the MCU that feels like something I could never have ever imagined happening 10 years ago. And I just kind of, it's such a treat that I think that that's what I would have gone with. What did you vote for?
I did vote this year, and I did vote for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Nice.
Sorry, I'm really analyzing that. I do think it's something to do with, yeah, the X-Men tie over. I think I have more emotional connection with Wolverine than I do with Deadpool at this exact moment. And so I think that's the part that got me excited as for him as an addition to the MCU. That could change in the future. It's not a comment on, I think he did a better job. It's not that. It's just, yeah, I think for me, that does it for me more. All right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know the results here. I know the results of the Super Friend Awards. That's it.
Right.
Those categories. But yeah, that's what I voted for.
Okay, so our second category, I think, is a Super Friend.
What is it?
Category, correct?
What is it?
Best on-screen team-up.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Without further ado, one of our Super Friends, can't remember who it is, you're going to find out right now.
Hi there, this is Thomas C., Super Friend, here to announce the winner of the Best Team-Up for this year's friendlies.
Look at that.
And the winner is Deadpool and Wolverine from the movie Deadpool and Wolverine.
Thank you, nice. Tom.
Nice.
Little Deadpool. I got, hold on. Production value, production value. Here we go. Yeah, I'm guessing this one wasn't super close. Best team up being Deadpool and Wolverine. It just feels like when you have an MCU film, there's only one of them in the year, and it just so happens that it carries two characters in the title as a team up. It feels like it's kind of stacked. Odds are stacked against the other categories at that point, other nominees.
Yeah. You know what? This is one of those things that would have been, I know we've talked about going back and doing some like Infinity Saga friendly awards. And while I was visiting my family this past weekend, I had zero input here, but my niece is starting to get really into superhero stuff. And she was like, she's 8. And she was like, I want to watch a Captain America movie.
Oh boy.
And I mean, just right after my own heart, but I'm like, okay, no, we can do that. And she was like, but I want to watch a Captain America movie that also has Iron Man in it. And she's saying this having zero content. Like she doesn't even know what she's asking for. She's just like, these are the two things that I like. These are the ingredients that I want in a movie. And I was like, oh boy. Well,
fast forward 25 years, you'll still want them.
And the thing is, she like, we watched Civil War and, you know, she didn't watch the parts that she shouldn't watch, but otherwise it was a lot of fun. And it made me think with a category like this, who wins that award in 2016? Like who are the, like which Civil War team is the best on screen team up?
That would mostly come down to who we nominate too, because are you nominating the entire lineup of Team Cap and Team Iron Man in the actual airport?
I think you would have to.
Where does Black Widow fit in that?
Yeah, yeah. True.
Thanks, Tom. Tom, you're the man. Thanks for supporting Friends from Work Plus.
Seriously. Oh, wow. Okay. Our next category here is razor thin, like crazy tight, less than 2% of a difference between our first and second winner. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, listen close here. But our third category here is best jaw drop moment.
Okay.
Our first nominee was All the Choctaw.
Yep.
They're an Echo. Magneto strips the Adamantium in X-Men 97. The shirtless reactor grab from Deadpool and Wolverine. You Should See Me in a Crown from Agatha All Along. And Storm as the Goddess of Thunder.
And by the way, a couple people mentioned that we should have nominated Remember It, Gambit dying in X-97 as a jaw drop, which I think is fair. We maybe just straight up snubbed that.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the thing there is that was more of an emotional moment to me than a
jaw drop.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe what I'm seeing. You know, like it was more like a gut punch than a jaw drop, I guess. But
yeah, I think I voted for You Should See Me in a Crown.
Okay, so You Should See Me in a Crown got second place
here
with 38.6% of the vote. And with 40% of the vote, we got our winner, Magneto strips the Adamantium.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow, that actually surprises me. And I love that. X-Men 97 gets on the board, right?
Our first X-Men 97 win. And the first animated win of the day as well.
This will be fascinating to watch the rest of this episode to track, because I think in some ways X-97 was the best project they put out last year for what it was trying to do. And so we're going to see what happens when the best project is an animated project. Can it take many awards? Yes or no? We're going to find out. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay. Category 4 here. Best action sequence. Is that another one for Super Friends? Okay.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Hello, everyone. It's Jalen, aka the Nightcrawler from the Discord. It's nice to see you all. I am here to announce the best action sequence of 2024. And here are your nominees. Roller Rink Fight, Echo. Asteroid M, X-Men 97. Battle of the Deadpools, Deadpool and Wolverine. The Witch's Road Montage in Agatha All Along. And then the final Watcher Battle in What If Season 3.
And he didn't like
your
it.
Winner for 2024 best action sequence is Battle of the Deadpools.
Yeah,
Deadpool
it is.
Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
There we go, guys. Let's go.
Thanks, Jalen. The cup, the artwork in the background. Shout out Friends from Work. And obviously the merch. Love it. And I know Jalen didn't like the third season of What If, so that's funny.
And the whole like comic shelf behind him. You gotta love.
You gotta love it. You love to see it. Things you love to see. Yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine. This to me was kind of a no-brainer, right? Like action sequence. Right. This is kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy winning the tunnel fight last year. Just kind of obvious.
Yeah. Well, and I do it. I feel like there's a lot in common between those. Like those were both, I thought, kind of standout action moments within the MCU as a whole. Like just really fun set pieces and and like the music components in both were huge. So
agreed.
That makes sense. Category 5, another close one. Mm-hmm. Best villain.
I voted for Bastion. Is that crazy? That's who I voted for. Here's my thought.
Okay.
Kingpin is my favorite villain from Netflix, but you and I didn't love the ending portrayal of him in Echo. Like if it had ended, like we said, with him going back to New York after episode 4, I think it was, then I'd probably vote Kingpin here. Cassandra Nova, I just feel like we didn't get that much screen time. Like she doesn't feel like the villain of that as much as like the TVA trying to kind of manipulate some stuff and Deadpool and Wolverine going through their own stuff. So it doesn't feel like that movie focuses as much on the villain, and she does a good job. I just liked the portrayal of Bastion. I really did. Even Agatha Harkness, we didn't know necessarily like who the villain of that show was. We got creative. We said Agatha, but like, you know, that's not the standout villain. So that's why I was kind of torn on this category. Right.
Okay. So here's what's crazy. This, I think, is our first ever straight up tie.
No, we have one other tie I found out because I was going back for the Hall of Fame and I found one other tie. So it's the second tie.
Oh, wow. What was the other one? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. Why don't I go to the website while you tell me the results?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, but yeah, this is wild. So the one, I will say, we got some votes for the Watchers there, which I think some people would probably not have thought would be the case. But
Jalen,
we did.
Apparently.
But our two winners are Agatha Harkness.
Oh my goodness.
And Bastion.
Okay, good. Shout out Bastion. The previous one was 2022 Best Jaw Drop. We tied for Losing the Plot and Hippo in a Hospital. So Hippo in the Hospital is obviously Moon Knight episode
four, or five,
Losing the Plot. What was that referring to again?
I think that would have been She-Hulk probably, right?
Yes. Yes. The very end of it, I think, is the jaw drop. Yep. So that was our other tie. So Agatha and Bastion. So I'm going to count that as another win for X97 here.
Yeah, for sure.
I think people just really like what Catherine Hahn did with Agatha Harkness as a character. So this is a little bit of a reward for that, I think.
Well, and I think that there were some really kind of chilling moments that she had in that show, especially towards the end, even though it's complicated to call her a straight up villain, but there are villains.
The Witch's things. Road montage was dark.
For sure. On a less dark note, now we have Best Romance.
Yeah. Opposite.
Which I don't think is a Super Friend.
Nope.
Category.
I'll tell you for the last couple.
Our nominees here were Jean and Cyclops, Wade and Vanessa, Deadpool and Dogpool, Rio and Agatha, and the Ducks. And we had a decent spread here. I will just say the only couple that got nothing, which is not crazy, I guess, but is Wade and Vanessa.
Well, that's because it's just not a driver of that film.
I know, but I think what's interesting is it was such a driver of the first two, and you do have the kind of moment at the end between them. So I thought there might be some hardcore Deadpoolers, but they all went with Deadpool and Dogpool, I suppose. But the winner was Rio and Agatha. Best Romance 2024.
Wow.
Fair. I think probably the right answer.
Yeah, it's also, you know, it hasn't been a massive driver of so many shows, and it was a decent driver of Agatha all along. You know, like it was a plot point that moved things along too. So, Best surprise appearance. This is the tricky category. If Laura gets me her video, then you will hear from Laura. But for now, we'll announce it and we'll edit this out if it doesn't work.
Hey, Friends from Work fam. This is Laura, aka Starlala. I'm here to announce the best surprise appearance of 2024. But to no surprise, the winner of this category is going to be none other than Chris Evans as Human Torch in Deadpool and Wolverine. Very deserving win. A hold for applause. All right. I'm looking forward to geeking out with you in 2025 and all the fun stuff we have coming up. And later, skaters.
And that was our winner for best surprise appearance.
Yeah.
Chris Evans as the Human Torch.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. It has the MCU tie-in as well. All of those were fun. Channing Tatum as Gambit was really fun. But to just see Chris Evans again, first of all, we talked about that, just so fun. But then to have like the rug pulled out was hilarious, and have him not be doing Captain America. And then just some of the dialogue between them about it. Yeah, huge win for me. We were in the theater together, and you and I were like, oh my gosh, it's Chris Evans.
I mean, it was executed so well. And I wonder how much of that experience played into Evans being interested in returning in whatever role he's returning in. Because it does seem like he's having fun there, which I
want to know with him specifically. I saw an article about this, and this is kind of mean to say, but I wonder how much of his post-Endgame career plays a role. Yes or no? Because I saw an article about this. That's not my original idea to say that, but.
No, I mean, but I think what's interesting about that to me is Robert Downey Jr. is the first one to come back, and he has the least reason to come back in terms of his post-Endgame career.
Oh, no, so totally. I'm saying they're not comparable. He and Chris Hemsworth have smashed it, really, I think, since. Although Furiosa was not a box office success, but I feel like Chris Hemsworth got critical acclaim for that. And I feel like he got critical acclaim for playing the voice in Transformers 1. But anyway, I'm not sure. I guess Chris Evans in Glass Onion would probably be.
The first Knives Out.
Yeah, but was Knives Out post Endgame? The first one? Oh, it was. Okay.
I do think, like, I've heard good things about a couple of Chris Evans projects. I did not see Defending Jacob, but I've actually heard that show, he has a really good performance. But I just think it's like, I would think, oh, this is him wanting to, like, he's realizing that he doesn't have other options. And so I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but like the worst read would be, oh, he can't do anything else, so he's coming back to Marvel. But that's why I feel like the RDJ piece kind of like belies that, because RDJ came back after winning an Oscar and having just this like insane awards tour. And so you can't, like, that's certainly not what brought him back. So I think maybe it's just, they both just want to come back.
I just saw that Chris Hemsworth is coming back. I think it just really confirms our favorite part of this whole thing, which is that I think they really loved their time. Not only at Marvel Studios, but also with the Russos, probably has a pull. And again, if they felt any ill will, these elite actors, if they felt any ill will towards Marvel Studios, this is their obvious jumping off point. So they wouldn't have to do it. So I love that they're like, yeah, sure, let's do it again. Because they love that era of their life. That's my thing. That's great.
I think that's right. I can't go into it now, but I've been going back and reading properly, not on a rush, the Joanna Robinson book that we interviewed the folks about. I told you and Pete the other day that I was going back and there's like an audiobook version, and I everything that I hear about those original Avengers being cast, it just feels like such a like lightning in a bottle moment for all of them, like especially like the main three. Whenever you talk about just like the qualities they were looking for and how difficult it was for them to find like a Thor and a Captain America for different reasons, like how can you find, like, especially they kept coming back to Captain America and how many people they had audition and how it was this kind of like this quality that they couldn't quite even nail down. Like they didn't even know what to tell people they were looking for. It was just this like innate, like trustworthiness, you know, like this feeling that they wanted someone that would make you feel like they really believed in something. And I think all of that makes me happier that we are getting those folks back in the MCU, just because I think that they were clutch to it becoming what it was just culturally.
No doubt. All right. We'll be back after a quick word from these sponsors. Thank you. Yes, it's black. I realize that. It's supposed to be his post-credit scene.
Didn't see it then. Why are you still here? It's over. I guess you want another one. Here is best
incredible
ending
incredible
credit scene. From Echo, we have Mayor Fisk. From X-Men 97, we have Age of Apocalypse. And from Deadpool and Wolverine, we have Johnny's Potty Mouth. And the winner is Johnny's Mother Potty Mouth. All right. See you guys later.
That is so...
Man.
Okay, hold on. I didn't watch that video beforehand.
That's incredible.
He
Greg
told
always
me,
kills it with these.
Greg told me, the other Greg, told me that he was going to do his own post-credit scene. So that's what the black and our music was. Unbelievable. Also...
Fantastic.
So thank you, Greg. That's amazing. I love going above and beyond. Thank you. But also, that surprises me. I kind of thought Mayor Fisk would win this one. That's who I voted for.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's funny. The Mayor Fisk one is really the only credit scene that is doing what I think we normally associate credit scenes with.
Back
like
in the
it was, yeah, like moving things along, a big teaser.
Yep.
And
that's what I like. Yeah. I think I'm just not as big of a fan of waiting around for the comedy post-credit bits, which again can be funny.
Except for the, I mean, the two that have, no, that have worked the
again,
best.
I like, those.
Chris Evans.
But I know. I like them.
Because like the homecoming one is clutch.
For sure. But I just, I'm going to remember more of the ones that move the ball along, the ball forward than those. But
no, for sure.
Well, congratulations. Another Deadpool and Wolverine reward there.
Award. But a really fun one. And it makes me excited talking about this to go back and like I have not watched those original Fantastic Four movies in, I mean, a decade or more. And I am excited to see how reflective of that was like Chris Evans' performance here. You know, like is it really like I wonder like did he go back and watch himself in those movies to kind of get back in that headspace? And
he had to have, I bet. I mean, the walking around in a towel kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait. There's three Fantastic Four films we get to watch.
I know. And yeah, one of them I still have not seen at all. So,
oh, it's gonna be awesome. Okay, next.
Okay. Next category, best needle drop. And this is, again, a little fairly close, not as neck and neck as some of the other ones have been, but our nominees here were Pretty Waste and Echo, Like a Prayer and Deadpool and Wolverine, You Should See Me in a Crown and Agatha All Along, and Happy Nation in X-Men 97.
Mm-hmm.
I will say every category got some votes. So it was not necessarily a landslide here, but our winner by a healthy margin was Like a Prayer and Deadpool and Wolverine, which is right. That's right.
One quick,
I think that's maybe the most I guess crucial use of a single song, like in terms of like the impact of one needle drop since Immigration Song, right?
Put me on the spot here. Probably Infinity War and Endgame aren't needle drop movies.
Mm-hmm.
I do love Infinity War with Space and Rubber Band Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, like as far as being a part of the plot, I guess the only other contender would be that tunnel fight in the Beastie Boys that I can think of in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that is that's right. I've seen have you seen all the videos online of people using Like a Prayer at their weddings and everything? Like it became like a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. No. Rest in peace, TikTok. That's maybe where I would have seen the video.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, who knows? Who knows, like, by the time this episode comes out, which we are not recording early. I'm not saying it that way. I mean, like, hour to hour as we're recording this. Like, the situation with TikTok is changing.
Yeah.
So
rest in peace to our 4,000 followers who like to watch my Daredevil underwear on my head video. Oh. That was, you know, just really adding content to the world. You know?
I mean, that's the thing. That's the world is a worse place without that video. Okay. Next category.
That's the first thing my wife said. She said, please tell me you have that video saved somewhere else. That's a true story. Which I think I do in my camera roll somewhere.
Okay, I mean, you should. Okay. Best score. This one I was curious about because I could see it going a couple different ways. And
Really quick, as we're in the musical part of this, I'm excited about next year's friendlies, kind of getting a few things tightened up. I think I set us a little bit on not the best track this year, but it may also be because there was so little content too. But like I went back through some of the other categories. Like, for example, we didn't do a best little buddy this year. We didn't do best original song this year. And that might've been because there weren't many. Obviously, the Ballad of the Witch's Road would have taken it in a landslide either way, but I'm excited to next year kind of tighten it up. We'll have a ton of content and really have it follow the exact same format so that we don't miss previous years. So that was my best needle drop we want to add, which we just did, and then come back to best original song, which maybe we'll have some next year. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, it's almost better to just do best original music, maybe, and that would encompass score and any original songs, but not needle drops. Just because I think WandaVision and Agatha are the only ones I can think of where we've had like original song, or like Hawkeye, you know, because of the Save the City. But it's like, I feel like there's only ever going to be one in a given year.
We'll see. That's a good point.
But
we'll see.
That is. But yeah, I mean, that's why I was kind of curious going into this, because on the one hand, you have Agatha All Along that has really memorable uses of these original songs.
Yeah, good point.
And then you've also got, like, on the other end of the spectrum, Deadpool and Wolverine that is really using pop song placements. So it's kind of hard to see how people are going to react to all that. But our nominees here, as a reminder, Dave Porter for Echo, the Newton Brothers for X-Men 97, which, by the way, if you have not yet watched the Daredevil trailer, you should, if only to hear the hint at the Newton Brothers version of that theme, which slaps.
Good point.
Rob Simonson for Deadpool and Wolverine, Christoph Beck and Michael Paraskevis. How did we say it before? That's fine. It's whatever I do is going to end up being incorrect, I think. And then Laura Cartman and Nora Kroll Rosenbaum for What If Season 3. Our winner here by just 9% is Agatha All Along.
Yeah, Beck. Wow.
Christoph Beck, friend of the show.
Wow. Okay.
And Michael P, if you will.
Who?
I'm not going to give myself another chance to screw that up.
Who would you have voted for? This was a really tricky one.
I think that's what I would have done. Yeah. X-Men 97 would have been the which X-Men 97, by the way, was the second place winner. By just lost by 9.
But again, Echo has some good stuff too. That's my thing.
Yeah.
It weirdly, I think Deadpool might be for sure not in the top three. Like, I think Deadpool, just because again, so much of it's built on that Like a Prayer. Like, I can't remember one thing off the top of my head right now.
No, I mean, I think Deadpool barely beat out Echo.
Yeah, that's wrong in my opinion, but like I would swap those.
I think it is really, it's telling, and it kind of, it makes me happy because, I think we talk about this. We talked about it coming into this, but every year, you know, is there going to be that temptation to just reward the biggest project or your favorite project in all these categories? And I love that. I think the further we get in this, the less I see that happen. Like, I think I love our patrons because I see a lot of nuance come across in these. Like, I love that Deadpool and Wolverine, which is no shade on Rob Simonson, by the way. I'm not saying the score is not good at all. It's just, to your point, that's not really what the movie was trying to do. I mean, there's a reason why the big release for that on vinyl was the soundtrack, and then followed a lot more quietly by the score. And so I like that people were able to kind of parse that out. And yeah, I mean, the stuff Beck was doing in Agatha All Along was unsurprisingly great and consistently inventive.
And then especially if you include those original songs, then yes. Yeah. Okay. My wife is texting if I want to meet her at Pizza Ranch. Do you shout out Pizza Ranch of the Midwest or Five Points? So I am getting hungry, so we'll keep it moving. Here we go.
Okay. Best voice acting performance. Very quickly, we had Leanne Orzan as Rogue, Jennifer Hale as Jean Grey, Ray Chase, Cyclops, Matthew Watterson, Magneto, Theo James, Bastion, Jeffrey Wright as Watcher, AJ LaCasio as Gambit, Allison Seeley Smith as Storm in both series, Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams in What If, Haley Atwell as Captain Carter, just found a typo there, and Simu Liu as Shang-Chi, and Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson. So a lot of nominees here between What If and 97. Our winner by another slim margin, Matthew Watterson as Magneto.
Oh, that's not who I voted for.
How about that?
Third X-Men 97 award.
I like it. Just in case people were interested, there was a three-way tie for third place between Bastion, the Watcher, and Gambit.
Who was second? Oh, that's the, I got you. That's the second, yeah. I never know if that's second or third. I get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Exactly the same amount of votes for all three of those.
Okay.
You know, I appreciate that for Jeffrey Wright, because he has been just showing up season after season as the Watcher. And I think he's one of the best components of that show in terms of the performance.
I voted Theo James as Bastion, but I love Magneto winning. I think he did a great job.
Yeah. I think I probably would have voted Theo James, just because I think you and I both brought that up quite a lot during our coverage. Okay, best supporting actress.
Now we're getting to the acting awards here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had Tantu Cardinal as Maya's grandmother, Emma Corrin as Cassandra Nova, Patti LuPone as Lilia Calderu. Deborah Jo Rupp as Sharon / Mrs. Hart, and Aubrey Plaza as Rio / Death. And our winner here is Patti LuPone as Lilia.
I think that's
there it is.
That's who I voted for and who I think it should be. We talked about this when we were doing the nominees episode. That's kind of a strange category to figure out, because you got a bunch of different witches. You're trying to nominate one. Patty, we really liked. We kind of snuck in Deborah Jo Rupp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who also could have won this award, I think. But yeah, shout out. Yeah. Patty.
I think that's right. What I like about that is, Lilia, that's a character that I think could have been not forgettable, because it was a well-written, really interesting character. And that episode that Jack Schaefer wrote was I think what we nominated for best episode.
That's what landed the plane, I think. If she didn't have that episode, then it probably wouldn't have been here.
But I think if it had been a different, like, sometimes I feel like the exercise that I use to determine these best actor awards is like, okay, everything else is the same. Replace that with somebody else. And I think here, if you did that, there's a big chance that there would have been a big drop. Like, I think all the little nuances that she brought to that performance, like where she's really kind of lovable, but also can have these moments of really weirding you out, and it's all believably the same person. And she was having to do a lot of different things and kind of like convey these, like drop these bits of foreshadowing all along the way. And so it was a really, I think that's a good choice there, a worthy award for her. On the flip side, best supporting actor. Here we had just three nominees. Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, Joe Locke as Billy Kaplan, Wiccan, and Matthew McFadden as Paradox in Deadpool and Wolverine. And our winner here by a hair is Joe Locke.
Wow.
As Billy Kaplan.
Maybe I should do this
Wiccan.
One.
I don't think I would have voted for Joe Locke.
I did here. Not.
I think I would have given that to Vincent.
I don't think I voted Vincent either. I can't remember.
Did you go Matthew McFadden?
I did.
That's fair. I think I would have done. I think Joe Locke might have been my third, and that's not even shade. I wasn't always totally locked into his he did a good job. There were never moments really where I was like, oh, he's not acting well. I think that was not one of the standout elements of Agatha all along for me, I guess.
I totally agree. By the way, I'm referencing here the Hall of Fame. This is an interesting category because we had Owen Wilson, Ethan Hawke, Owen Wilson. So two-time winner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think I was not into the way that D'Onofrio, I don't know if it's the way he portrayed Kingpin or just the general portrayal of Kingpin in the finale of Echo, but the rest of it,
for sure,
I liked a lot.
If he hadn't had the finale, he's my vote. Just that dinner table scene, remember that?
Yeah, man. Ugh. And like the flashback stuff, even like showing him kind of raising Maya.
But like the dinner table, the whole time you're sitting there going, like, is he gonna just kill her? Is he gonna all of a sudden like just smash her head on the table? But he's like serving her good food, and you're like, I have no idea.
Yeah, man. Okay, and then in our next category, which I think there was a slight, at somewhere along the way, there was a mishap here because Joe Locke is also a nominee for Best Lead Actor, which I think you can kind of make an argument either way. I think he starts as a supporting actor in Agatha, but maybe ends as a lead actor. So I don't know. Anyway.
It was a mistake, though. We didn't try to do that.
Yeah.
But it's more fitting, I think, that he wins as the supporting actor, in my opinion, than
actor. Our other nominees here, unsurprisingly, were Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
And split the vote, question mark? I'm actually genuinely curious here.
It's Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Wow. I think he wins that because of the Honda Odyssey sequence for me, basically. I feel like, how do I say this without being controversial? I feel like Hugh Jackman is probably my favorite part of that movie. I already said I voted for him earlier. He brings in the emotional tie in a way for me that Deadpool doesn't quite have for me because I don't have that history.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little bit disappointed that they just didn't do a little bit more with that character. Like he had talked about how it was such an emotional follow-up and that it was one of the greatest things he'd ever done, even over Logan. And I just don't think that's the case. Like, we got two kind of sequences here or there. I felt like the flashback to him kind of how he ruined his X-Men world was a little bit far-fetched. Like, I get it, but a little bit like, I don't think he'd be carrying that much guilt. And it's like, yeah. Like, how do I say this? Like, what he did wasn't so bad. I kind of thought they would have, like, that he had turned evil, or he himself had murdered everyone or something. Like, to have that much regret over just not doing enough, I get it. Again, I liked it. I voted for him. But I don't think it's the same level as what he does in Logan, in my opinion. I think the Honda Odyssey sequence is like the one time where I felt like we were getting Logan type Logan. And
yeah,
I do a little bit wish that was leaned into just slightly more.
You know, I was thinking this, the new Ultimate line of Marvel Comics has been interesting to watch because they're sort of trying to figure out how to reinvent certain characters and surprise people with ways they're different from the classic versions while also keeping the core of them so that you still recognize the character, which is a hard thing to do. And I was kind of thinking about that in the context of the new Wolverine comic that they just put out and also Deadpool and Wolverine. And I think that I'm totally with you. I didn't really feel like the backstory packed quite the punch that the movie wanted me to think it did.
That's a better way to say it. Yes.
I wonder if it's really just them being like, okay, like that now you know that this is a Wolverine that's haunted by his past. And that's all you need for a Wolverine. You need a guy that's old that drinks and smokes and is kind of generally cantankerous and has these regrets that he carries around. And I think now it's like we've got, okay, there's Wolverine. Like now we can move forward and whatever he does, you can either remember Wolverine from the X-Men movies or you can remember Wolverine based on the backstory that we have here, but it's all going to kind of be the same. I mean, maybe that's all that they needed us to have.
Well, that's what they thought. That's all we needed. But I still would have liked a little more of the Logan type Wolverine then.
Or like, just something a little bit more different.
Well, and he's kind of playing a similar character in that he's super jaded at the beginning of Logan.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of it. And like here, he's the same kind of thing, just a little bit less effective. Again, I liked it. Holy cow. I liked it. But I'm with you. I think we're in lockstep here. Let's keep going.
Yeah. I it's almost like I would have rather them do something totally different.
Yeah.
If they're going to.
We're in Joe lockstep.
Nice.
That was going to save you. Jeez. Tough crowd.
Okay. Well, I had to think about it for a second.
Stupid online delay too.
Best lead actress. This probably not a huge surprise. We had two nominees, Alakwa Cox as Maya Lopez and Catherine Hahn as Agatha Harkness. I will say, Alakwa Cox did a great job in that series and did get a respectable portion of the vote.
Good.
But Catherine Hahn still won by quite a bit as Agatha Harkness. So congrats to Catherine Hahn.
Honestly, I think that makes sense. She's definitely doing kind of like the theater over-the-top type performance, which I think for a lot of people just works for a witch character.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to see Hahn get some Emmy nods.
She was nominated for the Golden Globes. Is that right? She is nominated somewhere or something I saw.
So I think so. I didn't see her at the Golden Globes, which we watched live, but I feel like I remember reading that.
Or something. Maybe she was nominated for something.
Okay. Here's where it gets interesting to me as we get into the best writer, director episodes. These categories, I think, are always kind of a toss-up because people bring different perspectives here. The nominees for Best Writer / Writing Team, we had the, well, without me listing all of these, we had the writers for Echo. We had the writers for X-Men 97, the writers for Deadpool Wolverine. These were all teams with quite a lot of folks here. Agatha All Along and What If. Now, I think you could say that there were folks that led up these writers' rooms. But I will say it's notable. What If got zero votes here. What If got zero votes here. Echo got just 1% of the vote. And then it was a bit closer between the remaining three projects. But this is kind of an upset, I think. The winner here with 44% of the vote is X-Men 97.
Wow.
Headed up by Bo DiMaio. So, that's kind of a big deal because, you know, you look at Deadpool Wolverine, for instance, and you've got Ryan Reynolds as a writer. You know, I mean, it's you've got the Deadpool writers returning. You've got Sean Levy writing and Zeb Wells. Like, it's a kind of a stacked team there. Then you have Jack Schaefer and a lot of the WandaVision writers. I mean, we've got Laura Dani and Cameron Squires listed here. Laura Dani, I think, wrote What Is Grief episode of WandaVision. Mm-hmm. So you've got some all-stars. So I think it is really impressive that out of all of these and out of very well-loved live-action projects, you have X-Men 97 take the gold here.
The writing was just so good in X-Men 97. I voted for that as well. Here's the thing. Does the Academy separate writing as far as actual plot and like the overall, the overall plot versus dialogue and the actual script? Are those separate or is that all writing?
I think it's best screenplay. So I think it's all writing. Like, I think if
just because those things are kind of different to me too. Like, Deadpool had some really good actual dialogue and like scene by scene writing, but I'm not sure the overarching plot idea was elite. Is that
I think that's probably right. Yeah. I mean, I think that they maybe. They do a little bit of that by doing best original screenplay and best adapted screenplay, because I think that they're showing there that original screenplay, you are also coming up with a story, whereas like adapted screenplay, I would think is maybe
okay,
a little bit more on the mechanics. Just
right. You have the plot. You're just adapting it to screen.
Right. But I do. I think you're right. I mean, and even the Deadpool Wolverine script, it was really funny and the delivery was great. But I think the other piece for me is like X-Men 97 had such, there was a bit of an uphill battle, at least in this context. Like, for it to come out on top of these projects that had, man, especially Deadpool Wolverine, had a ton of hype. But then like Agatha got, you know, was critically acclaimed. And I think that the writing for that, like WandaVision, is one of the stronger elements. So that is like, yeah, that's impressive. And I really do. We talked about this in our nomination episode. I'm hoping that they can maintain that level of quality with X-Men 97 moving forward. Okay. Best directors. Here we have Sean Levy, Deadpool and Wolverine, Jack Schaefer, Rachel Goldberg, Agatha All Along, Sydney Freeland, Catriona McKenzie for Echo, Jake Castorina, Chase Connolly, and Emmy Amet Yonimura for X-Men 97. And here, Deadpool and Wolverine takes it again with Sean Levy winning Best Director for 2024.
I think that was my vote as well.
I think that's right.
Okay. I'm actually also really anxious to get to the most anticipated categories because I'm actually curious about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. We're almost at the end here. Best episode of a series. Our nominees are Taloa, episode 4 of Echo, mm-hmm. Remember It, mm-hmm. episode 5 of X-Men 97.
My vote.
Death's Hand in Mine, episode 7 of Agatha All Along. Mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And What If the Watcher Disappeared from What If season 3. The winner with nearly 70% of the vote.
Oh, God. It's going to be Agatha?
Remember It, episode 5 of X-Men 97. How about that? How about that? We're going to have to look at this tally and see. I feel like it's going to wind up being pretty close between 97, Agatha, and Deadpool.
I think that's the 5th or 6th win for X-Men 97.
Man, that's so crazy.
That is a little bit surprising to me. I literally thought people were going to vote that episode with Patti LuPone and or LuPone, Patti LuPone, with LuPone, not Pugh. That episode is a home run with Lilia. So I'm surprised by that. But yeah, man, Remember It. That was just, I remember recording the episode on this podcast where I was like, I don't really care about the X-Men. I don't know anything with X-Men 97. I didn't watch the show growing up. And then that episode happened. I was like, wow, they kind of have the balls to do this. Like, I'm in. That was executed perfectly.
Yeah. Man, but still crazy. I mean, because we were talking all last week about how, you know, we're going to be breaking out animated stuff moving forward, which we will and should do because we're going to be getting more animated projects. But it's just really impressive to me. I don't know that if you had asked me when we started doing this 4 years ago, if I thought that an animated show that's not, you know, not canon to the MCU could beat all these other projects, I would not have thought so. Which leads us to best series. Our nominees here: Echo, X-Men 97, Agatha All Along, and What If Season 3. And
oh boy, here we go again.
What Question If mark? Again? Zero votes. It did get a little bit for best episode. Nothing here. Echo, a little bit. And then, you know, the real challenge here is between
Agatha, which I don't know,
and X-Men. And the winner is X-Men 97. That's crazy, Kyle. That's wild.
I just think for what it was trying to do, it was more consistent. I mean, I don't think it was wrong.
I loved it. But yeah, let me
put it this way. If you had to make X-Men 97, you were hired to do it, could you have really done anything differently to make it better? Like, it was almost the best possible version of what it was going to be.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Yeah. I don't think so. Whereas there are things about Agatha that I would have changed.
Tiny things, but I know you didn't love the last battle.
Right.
There were a few, there are maybe a few acting things in the middle episodes that didn't quite hit us the way they wanted us to, but crazy. Man,
this is making me want to go back and I have not rewatched 97 at all, and now I might have to.
Well, we will eventually on this podcast, I think. Next category is best film, and the winner is Deadpool and Wolverine because there was only one film.
I pulled it up and I saw 100% of the vote. And then, man, that's going to be a really fun category next year, though.
Absolutely. So that leads us to most anticipated stuff. And I want to talk about this. So go ahead.
Yeah. So most anticipated animated series of 2025, speaking of separating those out. Our contenders here are Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is premiering very soon, Eyes of Wakanda, and Marvel Zombies. The winner, by a decent margin, but not crazy, is... You have any guess?
What would you have voted for? I voted for Eyes of Wakanda. I bet Spider-Man won, but I voted for Eyes of Wakanda.
Spider-Man did win. I think I probably would have voted for Spider-Man just because I've read some things about it that seem like they're really pulling from comic stuff that I love. But it's close because Eyes of Wakanda feels like there's more room for for them to do things that would deepen like the Wakanda lore within the MCU. Right.
And the I like really that. Crass way of saying it is, I know a lot about Spider-Man already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
the character, the stories, the comics. I don't know that much about Wakanda, so I'm with you. Yeah. I just, in general, I think I'm more excited to just be in that world and get a more developed Wakanda and characters and their history, and I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Especially with, like, with the, you know, us not having Chadwick anymore and how that's kind of changed the trajectory of that franchise. I think it's kind of nice to be able to go back and just do some deep dives into sort of classic Black Panther stuff.
Okay, so most anticipated live action series?
Yes. Now, our contenders here are Daredevil Born Again, Ironheart, and Wonder Man.
I'm excited about all three, but this is probably 70%+ Daredevil, right? 80%+ Daredevil?
It is 92% yeah. Daredevil. I wonder how many of these votes were just with when we put out the survey were post the trailer and how many were before. Because I know we've gotten votes over, you know, every day leading up to today. I think we got some this morning. But
me, you, and Pete talked about this on a phone call last week. Is Daredevil the most anticipated / most hyped show since WandaVision? And I think the answer is yes. We were talking about pre-show hype. Maybe Loki season 2. This is going to sound crazy. I remember there being hype pre-Secret Invasion about Secret Invasion. Right. Now, obviously, people didn't like it, but WandaVision had the hype because it was the first thing in so long, first show ever on Disney Plus for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But this is the only other show I can remember that has that buzz again of like, there's going to be a cult following of Netflix viewers that are going to be watching this show.
Oh, for sure.
And then also the long running Marvel Cinematic Universe fans that haven't seen it will still watch this show.
Yeah. All right, our last category here, most anticipated film of 2025, which I is a bit closer than the series, and I was more curious to see that here. The nominees are Captain America Brave New World, obviously, which is coming out in less than a month, Thunderbolts, which is coming out in May. It still has that asterisk, still wondering if we're going to see that title change after Captain America Brave New World. And then, of course, Fantastic Four First Steps. The winner is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
With nearly 70% of the vote coming out in July. And you know what? That makes sense to me. I think that is the one that everyone seems most excited about, at least within the MCU community. And I do think just seeing that, like looking at the bar graph here and seeing, you know, Captain America got like 1% of the vote, which is wild with kind of what we talked about with some of the general population stuff. Thunderbolts got 30% and Fantastic Four. They're, like I said, got almost 70. And I kind of love the stair step there for the year because I feel like it's just going to be fun to have, like, I'm excited about Captain America. I'm more excited about Thunderbolts, and I'm more excited than that about Fantastic Four. And that's a fun way to go through a year.
We're getting the ground level follow-up with Captain America, Daredevil, and then Thunderbolts. I think the reason Fantastic Four, well, amongst many reasons, probably wins that is the cast looks awesome. The time period looks fun. I think there are fans of the Fantastic Four. We just haven't had that in forever. So all of that. But I also think that the Fantastic Four kind of represent the pre-Doomsday like kickoff to the multiverse saga finale. So like this is kind of like, to me, the Civil War, if you're coming up on Infinity War and Endgame, not in the same way, but like, I think that's when you're going to get official word on like incursions and what Doomsday or Dr. Doom is and like that there's problems brewing and like you're going to see another universe. And what does it look like for people to come from another universe to this one? Or like, I think that's kind of going to be the answer to this thing they've been building up. And then that's going to kick us off into those other films I'm talking about. So I think it's more just that that level of connectivity on the multiverse saga is sorely needed right now. And so I'm really excited to see that part of it. Not to mention all the other things, right? Pedro Pascal and like,
right.
But yeah.
And John, I just, don't forget John
Malkovich. I'm just fascinated what another team in the MCU looks like, you know, like a totally different vibe team. And Matt Shackman's directing it. So
yeah, man. Yeah. And it's like a, I mean, the last time, and we will have gotten Thunderbolts by then, but Thunderbolts is different because it's all existing characters. Guardians was different because it was totally new characters, but they were also characters that no one had any prior history or experience with whenever it came to you know, filmgoers. And so I think this is such a unique thing. Like, the only thing that would be comparable to a Fantastic Four movie in the MCU is an X-Men movie in the MCU. When you're looking at like a group of well-known, and I think it's just, yeah, we haven't really had anything like this, especially not for it to be introduced kind of on the eve of the first Avengers movie that we've gotten since 2019.
In closing, next year's friendlies are going to be wild. We talked about a few tweaks we're going to make by this time next year, but we did all of that the last 80 minutes based on a few projects. As you can see, we're getting three animated shows, three live action shows, and three major film releases by this time next year. So nine projects to break into. So I think it'll be easier for us on the friendly award front because some things will just be naturally eliminated by the process of we can't have this be 5 hours. And so like, you won't have to like stretch the nominations. It's like, no, who was really the best one of all the animated voice actors? You know, which was the one that stood out? So I'm excited about that. But I also want to say that this has been really, really fun. Now we are officially, as a podcast, turning the page to 2025 because next week is going to be our bold predictions episode, which is always a fun one. Three things that both of us think could happen in the MCU this year, and maybe honorable mention, something we want to see happen, even if we don't think it will happen. And that's like, that's going to kick off officially this new era because we're bold predicting. And then I'm going to be asking for people to get their mailbag questions in, and I'm sending emails out about screeners to for Robbie and I to figure out what does that look like? How are we watching this together? Are we doing something in Austin? Like, all this stuff now starts rolling for the new year. Obviously the Daredevil trailer, which will kind of pick up right after that. It's only like 2.5 weeks after. So we'll have a couple of weeks to talk about Brave New World in a reflecting kind of way. And then all of a sudden it's going to be previewing Daredevil, which maybe we'll have seen some of the episodes already. So this is kind of the end of 2024. It's been fun, but also I'm looking forward to more content again now. Like I do feel like I've kind of gone through a content drought, and there are things that I am missing and things that I hope I'm going to get now in 2025. So that's how I kind of wanted to end the episode. I'm excited about where we're going.
I feel like it was a good palate cleansing year. And now, I'm ready to eat.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Let's eat. Thanks for listening. Thanks for voting on this. To all of our subscribers, thank you so much. We love you guys. Come along with us for the journey. 2025 is going to be awesome. We'll see you right back here next time on Friends for More.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.